Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
As one of my favorite pastors says, you're already successful because you're loved by God. We are already successful this morning, so that takes the pressure off, right? I know I'm not very old. Some of you have lived a lot longer than I have. You've experienced a lot more in life than I have. And you've seen big events throughout the world that have shaped the world. And even though there have been in the last 50 years, there have been major world events, I think here in the West, we've had some sense of security, some sense of safety. And then 2020 hit, and kind of all hell broke loose, and the world changed forever. Like, not one person has been unaffected by the events of 2021, 2020, 2021, and now 2022. And I think we've awoken to the realities that life is going to be different moving forward. And that life is more complex than ever before. That life is continuing to change at lightning speeds. There just seems to be thing happening every single day. Like, major world events all the time. And so there's a lot to be concerned about. And in the words of John Piper, he says this: we are unsettled by the world. It does not feel safe. It seems fragile and insecure. We have come to a shattering realization that there is no safe place on the earth. Slowly, perhaps many are awakening to the view that according to Hebrews 13:14, here in this life, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Hebrews 12:28, that the world does not offer a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Although the world is in an incredibly difficult situation currently, and things don't seem to be changing anytime soon, we have a hope. And not only do we have a hope one day in the future, we can rest in the fact that one day we will be with Jesus. That is an incredible hope. But we also have a hope here and now. And that hope is found in Jesus, that he enters into our broken world and he walks with us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, 45, and we'll read to the end of the section, 45 through 52, or feel free to follow along on the screen. Mark 6, 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat and he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So Jesus and his disciples had been ministering that day, and Jesus said, hey guys, get into the boat, head on to the other side. And I'll dismiss the crowds and I'll meet you over there. And Jesus goes up onto the mountain or onto the hill to pray and spend some time alone with his Father. And while Jesus is up on the mountain, it's the middle of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., and he can see out on the lake that there is a storm. And he's probably in a storm as well. But he sees that the disciples are making headway painfully. Mark describes it beautifully. He says they're making headway painfully. They've got waves crashing upon them from every angle. There's probably big swells. They're probably sopping wet. And they're probably like, Jesus, where are you? Maybe you've been in a situation like that before where you continually get bombarded by wave after wave after wave after wave. You dodge this way or you move this way to dodge the bullet that's coming at you, and when you dodge this one, there's another one right here waiting for you. Has anyone ever felt like that? Maybe you're in a season like that right now. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe there's a death in your family. Maybe you're doing everything you can to be financially responsible, but big financial crisis after financial crisis after financial crisis keeps hitting you. Maybe you've been slandered. Maybe your reputation has been dragged through the mud. But it's just thing after thing after thing after thing. I think for the last 2 years, maybe we've all felt this way. I would imagine this is how the disciples are feeling at the moment. They are making headway painfully. Mark says, he came to them walking on the sea. And then he says, he meant to pass by them. Now, when you see this, Jesus, you know, he's looking out onto the lake. There's a storm going on. His disciples are having a hard time. And Jesus is thinking, I think I'm just going to beat them to the other side. Pass by them, cruise past. Oh, hey, guys, just I'll meet you tomorrow morning on the other side. I know you're having a hard time, but catch you later. This is an interesting thing that we see here. He meant to pass by them. And then they see him and they're completely freaked out because they think they've seen a ghost on the lake. Pause there for a moment. Put your finger in Mark chapter 6 and turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 17 to 23. And it says, what's happening here is Moses is up on the mountain and he's talking with God. And God is chatting with him God wants him to lead the people. And Moses is like, look, Lord, I'm not leading these people anywhere unless you go with us. Because if your presence does not go with us, then what will distinguish us from being just another people group? We need your presence to go with us. And so we read Exodus 33:17, and it says this, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. So in Exodus, we see Moses asking for the presence of God to go with them so that they would be a people distinguished apart from any other people. And God says, I will pass by you with my glory. I will pass by you with my presence. In wonderful fashion, commentator William Lane says this, in wonderful fashion, Jesus put his authority at the disposal of the disciples and passed by them to assure them of his presence. So what this statement that Mark is trying to get at isn't that Jesus was trying to play a little joke on his friends while they're in the storm of their life. He isn't trying to beat them to the other side. They're not playing a game of tag or hide and seek. But what Jesus is doing here in this moment is passing by his disciples to assure him, to assure them of his presence. In the midst of the storms of life, Jesus passes by. Jesus sees his disciples going through an incredibly difficult time. They are making headway painfully, and he desires to pass by them. He desires to go into their storm with them. In difficult times, when all seems lost, when life seems hopeless, when we feel like we cannot go on, when all we can do is mention the name of Jesus, Jesus comes close. Have you ever been in a time or season of life when all you can do is say the name of Jesus? Nothing else will come out. And in that moment, Jesus passes by. Jesus passes by us in our time of need, in times of distress, and in the storms of life. If you haven't realized it yet, the world is shaking. The world is groaning. And it's not stopping anytime soon. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom here. But I think we've all realized it's not stopping anytime soon. COVID, financial crisis, political unrest, wars, natural disaster. Everything that can be shaken is being shook hard right now. And I can't help but think more is coming. And when literally everything in our lives is shaking, we have a God who passes by. We have a God who enters into our hurt, into our brokenness, just like how Mark says he got into the boat with the disciples. I remember I was early on in ministry, and I had a mentor, Ron, and I was chatting with him one day, and I was like, hey, Ron, could you just, like, give me the ins and outs of ministry? Tell me what it's like. What does your day look like? And he begins to explain the ins and outs of his day. And this wasn't local church ministry. This was nonprofit, Youth with a Mission, and so it looks a little different than what the church does. But he was explaining the ins and outs of his day, and then he said, and every day around 3 o'clock, I like to drive down to the YWAM campus, and I just like to walk around. He said, I've been here for 30 years now, and people know my face. People know who I am. I can chat with the students. I can walk through the student center and just be a presence. And he said, the reason why I do this is because people know who I am. People know that I'm not going anywhere. I've dedicated my life to this place, and I want to see it thrive. And I'm just, I just want to be a presence. Also, during our time in YWAM, we had a speaker come through once or a couple times a year, and he would speak on world or global missions. And his name is Dan Bauman. If you look him up online, you'll find his story, and it's quite fascinating. But this one time, Dan and his friend were on a, they had a little bit of time off in between ministry commitments, and so they decided to go to Iran, an interesting place to decide to go to, but great nonetheless. And so they get to the border. They wanted to visit some friends at an eye clinic. And so they get to the border, and after being at the border for a little bit, they begin to have a few difficulties with their visas and with their passports. And the next thing you know it, Dan is being led away into prison. And Dan spends the next 9 weeks in prison in Iran. And Dan had gone through everything, and halfway through his time in prison, he had been beaten, he had been tortured, he had been interrogated over and over and over and over, and he was done. He was completely done. And he had made up in his mind that he was going to try and take his life. And so he tried 4 times to take his life in his prison cell, and every single time, he just couldn't finish. And there was just a presence in his cell that he couldn't get away from. And after the final time, he's lying on the prison cell floor, and he's weeping and crying in pain and distress. And he turns around, and all of a sudden, a bright light enters his cell. And he turns around, and he sees Jesus standing in his cell. And he says to Dan, "Dan, I love you, and I promise to carry you through this time." In the midst of Dan's storm, Jesus passed by him and comforted him with his presence. Now, when Mark is writing his gospel, he's writing to a group of believers, probably in Rome. And what's going on in Rome at that time is some difficulties, some challenges that many of us haven't faced. There was a famous emperor. His name was Nero, and he loved to persecute Christians. It was a pastime for him. He would have garden parties in the evenings, and how he would light up his garden parties is Nero would take these Christians and tie them onto large poles, and then he would light them on fire. And this would be the entertainment for the evening. This would be how his garden party would be lit up. He was famous for taking Christians and tying them into animal skins and then feeding them in the Colosseum, feeding them to wild beasts. Nero didn't like Christians. And so what these Christians would do is they would live in the catacombs beneath the city of Rome. And these catacombs was where they would bury the dead. There would be sewage in there. It was stinky. It was dirty. And some of these catacombs were 60 feet below ground. And so Mark is writing this gospel. It's a quick gospel. It's a fast gospel. There's only 16 chapters. And Mark writes to these believers going through an incredibly difficult time that in your distress, in your darkest times, when you don't know if you will live another day, Jesus' presence passes by you. He is with you in your deepest, darkest troubles. just like how God passes by or passed by Moses in the cleft of the rock to assure him that his presence would go with the people, just how Jesus passed by the disciples, and just how Jesus' presence was with the Roman Christians, Jesus' presence passes by us today. He is here in our midst. He's not forgotten about you. He is in the midst of your storm with you. Even as I look out at you guys today, I don't know everyone's stories, but I know a few of the stories, and I know that some of you are in the darkest, most challenging times of your lives thus far. And Jesus passes by. Mark states later on when they see that Jesus is coming out onto the water and they think it's a ghost. They think it's a ghost. And they are overcome with fear. And so often in life, this happens. We see the circumstances of life coming at us wave after wave after wave after wave, getting knocked down over and over and over. And there's incredible amount of fear, uncertainty, what's going to happen. And we are paralyzed by this fear. We start thinking about all the possibilities that could happen to us. We start going down the road of trying to figure out every outcome so that we can be in control of what happens next. And Jesus speaks into the fear of the unknown. Jesus speaks into the what ifs. Jesus speaks into the hurts and the pains and the brokenness. And he assures them with these words, "Do not be afraid. It is I." Take heart, he says. Take heart, it is I. This is an incredibly encouraging. What Jesus was probably saying in that moment was, take heart, I am. I am Yahweh. I am the beginning and the end. I am before time was. I am in control of the winds and the waves. I am sovereign over everything that you see going on here. Take heart. I am Yahweh. This would have comforted the disciples as they would have known from their study of the Old Testament scripture that the words I am are incredibly comforting. What follows is a huge comfort. Jesus gets into the boat. Like I said before, Jesus gets into the boat where the disciples are gripped with fear, where they don't know if there's going to be another wave coming at them. They don't know if their boat's going to completely fall apart and they're going to sink and drown. And Jesus steps into their situation. If he has the power and authority over nature, how much more does he have the power and authority over our lives, over the winds and the waves and the storms of our lives? Psalm 89:9 says, "You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them." Isaiah 51:10 says, "Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over?" Jeremiah 31:35 says, "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light by day and the fixed order of moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waters roar, the Lord of hosts is his name." The Lord, the God of angel armies, is his name. In an address to pastors, I once heard John Piper say, he was talking to pastors and he said, "Preach a big God. Preach an incredibly big God to your people." And then he went on to tell a story of the lady and her husband. I'll invite the band up at this time. He tells a story of a lady and her husband, and they're sitting in church in the first service of his church. And it's nearing the end of the service, and the gentleman has a heart attack and dies right in the middle of the service or nearing the end. And they rush him off to the hospital, and unfortunately there's nothing that they can do for the man, and he passes away. And in between, they're supposed to be going into a second service, so in between the services, John and his team are praying. They're wondering, what in the world are we going to do? And they decide, after much deliberation and prayer, that they would continue on and go into the second service. And so they begin the second service with a time of prayer for the family. And then later on, John gets up in to preach. And as he's preaching, he looks up into the balcony, and he's about halfway through his sermon. And who does he see in the service but the lady whose husband has just passed away? And he's completely taken off guard for a moment. He catches himself and continues on in his sermon. And as he finishes, or he finishes up, and he runs off the stage and immediately tries to go find this lady. And he meets the lady, and he prays with her, and he consoles her, and just says how sorry he is. And then he said, "You're here. Like, why did you come back to church?" And she said, "I needed to worship and hear the word of God preached. I needed to hear how great and big God was despite my incredibly difficult circumstance." I encourage you this morning to worship in the midst of your storms, in the midst of, for some of you, the most challenging time that you've ever walked through. Meditate on scriptures like Psalm 89 and Isaiah chapter 51 and Jeremiah 31. God is the God who is all-knowing. I believe he's saying to you right now, take heart. Take heart, I am. I am Yahweh. No matter what you're going through, I know I'm there with you. I'm walking with you. I'm passing by you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I believe that the Lord wants to assure us of his presence in these days. I believe that he wants to comfort us. It feels like we're on the verge of greater days. But I know that there are still difficult times ahead. And so this morning I want to encourage you that the presence of Jesus is with you. He is passing by you. He's not hiding from you. He's not playing games with you. He wants to enter in. He sees you up on the mountain, and he's looking down. And he says, "I'm going to them. I'm going to their situation." Would you stand with me? And let's pray. Let's set our gaze upon Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are a God who passes by. You are a God who enters into our brokenness and our hurt and our pain. And you enter into the boat with us. We thank you that you're with us in the storms of life, and we lay our insecurities and our fear down at your feet. And we say, "Lord, take them. We trust you. We trust you that you have good things in store for us. We trust that you are a good, good Father, that no matter what, you are with us. And we love you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's continue to worship.